to life. Sorry, I'm talking a little Southern. Terry and Donna Knight and Barbie's parents are here this morning. And they kind of got me rolling. You know what I'm saying? I do speak Southern. Hello. That is a very fine pastor down in Martinsville, Virginia. It's God's country down there. The textile industry doesn't know it, but it is God's country. It's so beautiful down there. It's heart-achingly beautiful. And this is a very fine family, as you know. We are blessed to have Barbie here. God bless her wherever she is. She's with the children, I assume. I hope so. Are you here? Oh my gosh, who's with the kids? Barbie, please. After what I just said. All right. Well, it's good to see everyone here. I'm starting a little lightly because this is there are parts of this that are pretty deep and pretty dark. I'll be talking about a leper colony a little bit. And but the good news that God is in the business of making people clean, leprosy or not, spiritual leprosy or not. He is in the business of renewal. He's not simply going to renew a home or a business. He renews the human heart. Because when Jesus Christ comes into a person, that makes all the difference. For real. Here's the Lord Jesus, and we know he's just sent out some people to be fishers of men. And he doesn't just lead with his mouth, he leads by example. It says, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. I'm told by medical experts that the Greek there, and there is some question as to the nature of the particular affliction that the man had, but saying he was full of this affliction from the physician Dr. Luke indicates he was visibly tormented. People that watched him come up knew something was desperately wrong with him. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. Come on, man, get up, have a little pride, stand up, straighten your backbone up, you know, be a man up, blah, blah, blah. He fell on his face. This is a moment of reality. This is a moment when a man looks at himself and says, I am absolutely powerless to fix what's wrong with me. I'm not going to lie to myself as I have for the last 20 or 30 years about certain afflictions that I have. I can't get out of the pit. I can't do this life myself and in my own strength. And so we see him symbolically, emotionally, physically hit the dirt in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle worker who has come to his town. He fell on his face. And then round two, the breaking of pride. He begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. There was a part of the United States of America, in a certain sense, out in the South Pacific. It's called Hawaii. My friend Joe Bricky just came back from there. I lived there 3 years as a child. My father was in the military, everybody knows that. And we lived there, and it was beautiful. We were on an island called Oahu, a paradise. But the Hawaiian people were afflicted with a genetic predisposition towards the ability, if you call it an ability, to receive the gift of leprosy. And in the early 19th century, either from China or the US or wherever it came from, multitudes of diseases came to the land. And the people were afflicted by this thing that disfigured them. Let me read you a passage from the book The Colony by John Taman. There was a doctor there in Hawaii. There weren't many, but there were some. It was such a paradise, but the people were afflicted. By the winter of 1865 to 66, the only thing Edward Hoffman, the physician, could do with any precision was detail its leprosy's assault. A victim first grew depressed with a general sense of heaviness throughout the body. Fever often swept over him. The patients are not aware of being sick until spots are visible on the skin, Hoffman wrote. Livid red marks appeared, first dotting the face, and then the ears and the nose. In some instances, the whole body more or less is covered with them, or a somewhat scaly eruption. Itchiness often ignited the spots, followed by insensibility within their shiny borders. In time, the marks darkened. Those on the face sometimes swelled with both hard and soft tubercle cells, then grew in size ranging from that of a pea to a hen's egg, a hen's egg-sized tumor on your face. The face now becomes much disfigured, the skin rough, full of wrinkles and fissures, similar to the skin of an elephant. As it advanced, the disease attacked the ears and the nose, causing them to enlarge. The way they would discover one way that you had this was by taking a razor blade and cutting your earlobe or sticking you with a needle. And in these extremities, in these places, there was no feeling left. It was so profoundly without feeling that you could walk back by a fireplace and try to warm your hands, and if the flame licked your hand, you wouldn't feel it, and possibly it would burn the fingers off you. The disease, as it advanced, attacked the ears and nose, causing them to enlarge. Cartilage in the nose then collapsed. The eyes became inflamed and began to tear. Eyelids, lips, distended enormously, Hoffman wrote, and the whole face had a horrid appearance. The voice grew scratchy and hoarse, and swallowing became so difficult that the person almost choked to death. Fingernails were levered off by growth beneath their hard surface. The feet and forearms swelled, and ulcers formed on the metatarsal articulations of the fingers and the toes, and yet without any pain. The skin becomes gangrenous, leaving the muscles bare. Joints are thus attacked and destroyed in succession by the slow process of the terrible disease. Through it all, Hoffman noted, the pulse is regular, appetite good, and no apparent internal morbid symptoms take place. This is a man being deformed by an external disease. I'm just going to put it this way. Externally, he has what I had internally. I was leprous inside me, in my heart and my mind, as a young man. Still, from time to time, it wants to assault me, but greater is he, Jesus Christ, that is in me than that spirit that rules the world, that disfigures, that controls, that dominates, that addicts. Now, there's something worse than this particular affliction. It is the leprosy that commands the heart and the mind and the body and takes over every part of us. So we are assaulted and yet don't realize our helplessness. Many times we talk our way out of our internal leprosy. I'm not so bad. I'm a good person. But if we noted from day to day the things we do wrong, I mean, if you only sinned in some way three times a day, I'm a good person, I only do three kind of criminal activities a day, times 365 days of the year, times 70 years, the lifespan of a person, I've only sinned 70,000 times. And you know he's lying if he says he's only sinning three times a day. But his mind works to defend and protect from the effects, the truth that the disease inside him proclaims, that you're going down, that your heart is broken, that you're becoming more and more addicted to craziness. That's a form of leprosy, perhaps worse than the disfigurement of the elephantine things going on in this passage. But here's the good news. God can make the human mind clean as well as the body. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. When he begged him to be cleansed, it says he touched him and he said, "I will," meaning "I will heal you, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Well, let's write down what the man did if it got the healing. He came to Jesus Christ. And he prayed, if you will. His begging is a form of prayer. And he's humbled himself. He's acknowledged that he can't fix his life. And he's lying on the ground there. But as my friend Brian Roberts will say, guess what? Jesus touched him. And he was made clean. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest. Some people think Jesus told him to tell no one because he had business to do. The God-man, the amazingness of deity wrapped in humanity, was a limited commodity in a sense with unlimited power. Perhaps he couldn't go everywhere, so there was a time and a purpose for everything he did. There's a reason this particular passage is in here. We are not afflicted with leprosy generally anymore, although it's out here. It's still in our world. People just don't know they have it. And certainly spiritual leprosy, the disfigurement of the internal man, is epidemic. We see it in the halls of power. We see it in our schools, but more appropriately, we see it in ourselves. But we have capacity to run and fall and pray and receive a touch from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is it real? Does it really change people? Well, he's charged this young man or old man, whoever it was, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. You know, a real miracle will withstand scrutiny. And in the ideas of the time, the physicians, the experts, the authorities who had judged a person clean or unclean. See, in that era, if you look in Leviticus, you'll see that if a man was unclean through having this kind of affliction, he was to wander around with his hair down or a woman and cry out at a distance, "Unclean, unclean." So people knew that this was a deadly disease and they had to keep their distance from it. Until a priest declared that the man didn't actually have it because of his symptomology, his symptom patterns. Now the crowd, in spite of Jesus trying to hold them back, the report about this man went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Jesus and to be healed of their infirmities. You know, this guy goes to a priest, and the priest declares him clean. He sees, notes, touches, feels everything about the man, and the leprosy is gone. Jesus changes people. And the change that he brings can be evaluated. I remember as a young man seeing a wrestler at my school. This guy was movie star, handsome. He had everything going for him in the natural, it seemed. But apparently in his heart, there was leprosy. And I remember, we'll call him James. I remember James walking around with a kind of a bounce to his step and a sense of something different about him and a kindness and a gentility that most wrestlers don't have. Something had been renewed inside him. Something had been cleansed. You know what had happened? It was the touch of Jesus. And we all saw it, and you know, I was a convinced atheist, but I had to watch James. I had to watch him. You don't know his last name. But he's here this morning. No, he's not. But he found something that filled him with love and cleansed his soul. A real miracle will withstand scrutiny. Now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and the great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now, here's what I want to say. I just got back from Los Angeles. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing with my son and daughter and son-in-law and all kinds of things. You know, it's amazing things going on. Scott felt led to go out to La La Land. And it is breathtakingly beautiful out there. Those of you that have been in that city, you see the mountains surrounding it. And there'd been rain. As you know, creating mudslides and all kinds of problems, but there had been rain. There had also been fires, and you could see the results of it. The kind of people that come out of Hollywood are people like Admiral Rand Fisher. Rand, you're out here somewhere. I know you are. Don't be ashamed of it. He went to Hollywood High School, which I walked by last week. And we drive into the city, my wife and I, my son squiring us around at night. I'm thinking, here we are, Hollywood. And all along the streets paved with gold in Tinseltown, were leprous tumors in a sense. It is filled with the homeless, and they live in pup tents everywhere. Massive amounts of people. I do not think that is the heart of the Lord. I think he came to seek and save the lost. And so I had the privilege of going, I didn't spend my whole time doing this, but I had the privilege of going to some meetings with some homeless people. Let me tell you this, the leprosy that is in these places is profound. I would see mental illness with the people we visited with. We would see the drug addiction. It's a different culture from this area, but similar afflictions and desperation and lostness. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is right there in that city. We went into a room and a lady was teaching a Bible study. She worked for Warner Brothers. She'd had something very terrible happen to her as a young woman. And it drove her like the leprous man to Christ, lying down face before him, face to the ground. But he filled her with the Spirit to the extent that she leaves her kind of executive offices at Warner Brothers and does a Bible study there and then in a place where the homeless are. And my son and his wife took us there. And something's happening. And you know what they want to hear, these people? They want us to tell them that God loves them. And he does. But in his love, he wants to touch them. That's what I believe. He wants to touch them and lift their hands and bring them out of squalor and a form of leprosy. The City of Stars has thousands of homeless people. Jesus, however, is there. Jesus is there. We went to a church there. It's an extension. I'm going to claim this. I'm going to boast in another man's work. Back there in the back of the room, without his wife this morning, I think, is Danny McGraw. Now, Danny, you don't know where I'm going with this, but there were two young men that looked a little bit like you. It's a little irritating, okay? They were your nephews, these big, strong, handsome boys. Yeah, just like that, yeah, Uncle Danny, I got it. And we went to their church. It's called Renew. And in that church, these boys were 11 people left Northern Virginia to start a church in the center of Hollywood. They're in the West Los Angeles Community College campus. And we go in and they're playing music, and there's joy and there's life, and there are people from the down and out to Hollywood actor types, and it's not a large church yet, to us it was giant. They came there a year or two ago with 11 people. But the pastor's story was this. He was the teaching pastor of an English congregation in a gigantic Korean church here locally. And he broke down because he couldn't do the job. But Jesus, he was a Christian, but Jesus touched him with the idea of the concept and the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Jesus touched him. He went to serve at another church with great success, and he was crazy enough to go out to Los Angeles. Now, I'm glad I have the privilege of preaching, but I wish I had this man's gifts, because the Holy Spirit has come upon him, and there are hundreds of people in a short period of time gathering there, multiracial, multi-ethnic, multi-social economic. And I'm telling you, some lepers are being made clean. Now, the vision of the church, it's called Renew, because they believe that Christ can renew the individual, and there's no question about that. And that person can be used by God to renew a city. If you get a chance to see it, I got to throw this one out for free. My son went to this church, and he sees his friends, the McGraw boys there, and one of their wives. They're all in ministry there. They're doing a terrific job, Danny. It's. I want them to come back and go here, okay? Just saying. Fantastic job. And they're out there loving the Lord and doing this magnificent work. And a guy they work with there at the church, his name's Sharif Atkins. Okay, there it is, out on the podcast. Sharif loves the Lord, and he comes up to me, you know, this is, and he says, your son is a great, and he says some of the most kind things you've ever heard about my son. Oh, well, he could do no wrong after that. Sharif Atkins was on ER for years. He was on white collar for 7 years. I don't know what he's doing now, but God has his people normally in the second echelon all over Hollywood. God is at work in Los Angeles with real people who are full of the Spirit and life. Why? Because Jesus Christ has touched them. There was a man who had two boys who went down, I believe it was in Pennsylvania. They went on a sled down a hill. They were little boys. Went into a lake and drowned. Oh my gosh. And the father, who was not a Christian in any way, did not have any spiritual resource to deal with the leprosy inside him. He grew bitter and crazy and began to drink himself into oblivion. In a sense, who could blame him? But he went to a service one day. I don't know who took him. I don't know how it happened. And the preacher that morning talked about the fact that David, King David, lost a son. But he knew that he could go be with his son one day. And the revelation given by the Holy Spirit because of the touch of Jesus Christ in that service told him that he could see his boys again someday. Jesus gives hope to a broken world. He gives hope to broken individuals, and he wants to expand the goodness. That man became a vibrant churchgoer and choir member. But the first thing, and by the way, I believe he took an axe to a slick little bar in the house. You see, that was causing leprosy inside him. The first thing we need to do to be renewed by the touch of the Lord Jesus is, one, recognize our own leprosy. You can back into the bat cave, into the darkness, hope no one sees you, hope no one knows, and you think you're safe back there. You're not, because the problem is not in the bat cave, and it's not in the light outside in the culture. It's in here. And the first thing you have to do, like this poor boy that goes to the Lord Jesus, is just say, it's true. apart from you, I can do nothing, Lord, nothing. But in you, with your touch, with your cleansing, I can be made clean. First, recognize your leprosy. But don't get hopeless. Not like the dad. Don't turn to addiction. The second R word here is receive his touch. He that comes to me, Jesus said, I will in no way, no way, I will cast him out. For this reason I came, to destroy the works of the evil one, to set the captive free. The Lord has anointed me with his spirit for this very job. I'm here to make you clean, and I'm available. This guy was a leper. Now, they did not know at that time that it was transmitted through sneezing and coughing, etc., etc. But he reaches out and touches this boy. Could you put the picture up, Wes, or whoever is Brendan back there? Now, some of you are thinking, that's a very attractive man. Not really. Those things on the front of his face are glasses, because he basically can't see. And in statuary, it's almost impossible to do glasses. I think they did a pretty good job. Now, this statue is in the town hall, town center, somewhere in Honolulu, Hawaii. It's also in the United States Capitol. They have some hall of statuary there I was unaware of. But this guy's there. His name's Damien. Damien was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a crazy Catholic priest because he actually believed this kind of story. Single man, determined to give his all for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to join him in a crucified life and see what God might do through one man's life. Now, the story isn't that happy. He went to an island called Molokai. It was where the Hawaiian people put those that had leprosy, that were absolutely hopeless. And the story is so dark, I don't even want to describe it. People in stress, people that have been arrested, taken out of a culture, having to leave their children, their wives, everything behind in a forcible way when people aren't really even sure that they're leprous. Was enraging, depressing. They have a death sentence from the disease. They're put at Molokai, and there's nowhere off the island. No way off. Mountainous cliffs along the beach, and they're sent there with almost no supplies. But this man, because of Jesus, because he'd been touched by him, because he'd been cleansed by him, went there. And Damien labored among the people. He had almost no tools, but he was a skilled carpenter. Sadly, it was his lot to form and put together some 1,300 coffins. But what he also did was he preached to the people about the love of Christ. And he knew from the second he was there that he couldn't not get near them and close to them to bury them, to bring them together, to pastor them. He was going to get leprosy. And so what you see here is a deformed man. And yet on the inside, he had great beauty. It's not the outside of you that God's so concerned about at all, actually. It's this thing right here. And he wants to renew that as the first point. He died, I think he was about 44 years old. But his name went out across our world and across our universe. This place was arguably the worst place on the planet. But he beautified it with his example. And for that, we give God thanks and praise, because he said to one man, I will be clean. He was able to declare the goodness of the Lord, and other Christians, both Protestant and Catholic, so we don't go there, declared it at that place. Have you been touched by Jesus? Have you been touched by Jesus? And if so, you have an amazing gift inside you. Stop worrying about what you can't do. Just grab a hammer. Just do simple things. Father Damien had a nice baritone. He took little kids and taught them to sing on a death trap of an island, praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because the end game, according to Christianity, is an eternity stretching before us, not this slight momentary affliction. Here's what we have to do. Recognize our leprosy, receive his touch, and having that happen to you. And Marty, could you come up while I'm finishing this? He wants to use you to renew your world. And he's not asking Terry or Michelle or Andrew or anybody to do it in their own strength. You just be the Lord's person and you love somebody and you serve somebody and you're radically different already. I don't know if my eschatology's right. That's not what's important. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. That's right. We're going to sing a song together. It's oldie. It is also moldy. I think if you could just stand up for a second, you'll probably sing better standing up. If you know the song, join in. If not, we'll fumble around with it. I'm going to do this to show you up and down. Saved. Lord, if there's someone here who has been touched by the leprosy of sin or physical affliction, let them reach out and take your hand right now in their heart, in their imagination, and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Make me clean. Jesus will say to you, I will. Be clean. Believe he saves you. Believe he heals you. Believe he will fill you with his spirit and renew you. And he will. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.